Progressive Radio Network.
Like to say hi to all those people who joined us in person at many of our workshops. We had one in Chinatown that was completely sold out, where we visited a lot of wonderful places, such as an underground FDA-approved Chinese herbal manufacturing facility. You're not going to get to do that unless you come on a natural alternatives trip. And the next one will be 2019, next spring, but you can go to the website naturalnurse.com. In the bottom left-hand corner, just put in your email, no other questions asked. And that will get you on our mailing list when we send out our newsletters, so you'll know what's happening. In terms of this week, we have several classes. We have a class in person in Huntington, New York. That's going to be on the 10th, and that is a lecture on how to use herbs for yourself and your family, and it's at the Main Source Pharmacy in downtown Huntington, Long Island. That is free to all and open to the public. The next day we have a class called Cooling the Fire Dragon, How to Learn to Use Herbs and Other Natural Supplements for Pain. That is online, and that one is going to grant 3 CE credits for any professional, such as nurses, massage therapists, registered dietitian, other nutritionists, acupuncturists, nurse practitioners, midwives. That is registered for CE credits. Pretty much all of our classes are. And what I would say I do a good part of the day is teach people, both nurses, doctors, and other healthcare providers, how to become registered herbalists with the American Herbalist Guild. It is a specific class. Everybody does it individually because people are, you know, either just starting out or way advanced, depending. Either way, to become a registered herbalist has a course of action so that you're not saying you're an herbalist unless you are super well trained. And that is, you don't need any degree to do it other than you can be a registered herbalist, but you could be an RN, AHG, RH, that would be an RN who's registered herbalist. You could be an MD, AHG, RH, or an ND, naturopathic physician, who's also AHG, RH. So you can just be AHG, RH. You can be a registered herbalist even if you don't have another kind of degree. Of course, your practice would depend on the state and what the laws are at that state, but something you may want to look into. So go to naturalnurse.com calendar, and you will see all the upcoming classes that you can join in on. Of course, we also offer personal consults for those of you who would like to know. We just had an amazing conference called Remedy, and that was a 9-part series that went very, very deeply into herbal medicine. And I was a part of the group of many herbalists who were. Now, that was free for about a month. Now it is available, but there's a price tag on it. It's still an excellent thing to have in your library. And you can get it as an online access or also a DVR or whatever, DVD, and also a full listing where it's printed out, the transcripts. So it's very, very worthwhile. But I do want to say we have another upcoming webinar series, which will be the 1st of November. So it's coming up soon. I'm going to be sending emails out and links to it very shortly. So get on that email list if you want to get the link. That one is going to be on electromagnetic fields, the dangers and how to protect yourself. Very important, because those things are ramping up daily, and now we're moving into a whole new technology, which is called 5G. Some people it doesn't bother at all, just like some people can walk through poison ivy, nothing happens, and others can look at poison ivy and get a rash. So you really do need to evaluate your sensitivity to electromagnetic fields. Sometimes people don't have a clue, and yet they feel very ill all the time. No one can find out what's wrong with them. That's something to consider. Well, today we're going to speak to our guest, Dr. Veronica Anderson. Dr. Veronica is a medical doctor as well as being a medical intuitive, which is very rare and a wonderful combination. She's also a functional medicine practitioner and a homeopath. She is the author of several books, including But Now I See, A Medical Intuitive Surgeon's Guide to the Meaning of Your Illness and How to Heal from Chronic and Incurable Disease. Dr. Veronica actually began her medical career as an eye surgeon and now has the distinction of being both a licensed physician and a practicing psychic. And in her program, she uses her gifts and talents to help people with complex health issues who feel like they haven't gotten proper answers or relief from the healthcare system. And she has an intuitive rejuvenation journey program, which guides people to wellness by working on both the physical and emotional and spiritual and energetic triggers and as the root cause of disease. She also has a free gift for our listeners, and a link to it will be right there on the archives for this show. It's Dr. Veronica, drveronica.com, which is her website, /flu. But you can just link right on it by coming to our archives. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Veronica.
Well, thank you so much, Ellen. It's so nice to be here. I was enjoying listening to all the preamble of what was going on, like saying, oh, I want to go participate in that, too.
Well, please do. And do you prefer to be called Dr. Veronica or Dr. Anderson?
Everyone calls me Dr. Veronica.
Okay, that's what we'll do, and that's what I thought. Now, what an interesting journey. Let's go back in time to why did you want to become a doctor, and then why did you focus on eye surgery?
Well, interesting story. So, you know, when I was a little kid, like 4, I was in the kitchen with my mother and was just saying, Mom, I really like to help people. Maybe I'll be a nurse. And she said, did you ever think about being a doctor? And all of a sudden it's like, huh, yeah, I really would like to be a doctor. It was kind of that simple. I remember looking up and could see the bottom of the counter. You know how you're like, you're really short when you're a little kid. And I remember that scene in my kitchen and thinking that way. But on the trail, it's interesting because I originally wanted to be an OBGYN. And when I was in college, my mentor, I met a woman who was an OBGYN. I went and hung out in her office. And she said, when you're 40, are you going to want to get out of your bed at 2:00 in the morning and deliver a baby? And I was not a night person. So I was like, I need to rethink this. I just, you know, I'm one of these type of people. I'll get up at 5:00 in the morning, but by 9:00 at night, forget it. And want me to get up in the middle of the night? Oh my gosh, that's not me. My husband, on the other hand, he's the complete opposite of me and can get up on a dime in the middle of the night. But me, are you crazy? No. So I started thinking, what else can I do where I'm going to be able to develop a long-term relationship with people? I can be in the office, but I also am interested in doing surgery. And I met a gentleman who was an ophthalmologist, and I, after hanging out in his office and going to see surgeries and lasers and realizing that he had these patients that he had had for years and years and years, they all knew him. They were talking about their kids. I was like, this is it. I can hang out in the office, but I love that little eye, because you know how we are, we're perfectionists. That little teeny eye, it's so little, I can know everything possible about it, like everything. And so this is the field for me. That's how I picked it. Now, I'll give you a secret, and you know this already, Ellen. That little eye has so many things to know about it that you just never get to the end of it. It's amazing, because everything that is in the body, pretty much you can see in someone's eyes. And so I ended up being in a practice where people would come in and I would be the first person to diagnose some type of issue because I would see findings in their eyes and start asking other questions. Now, it's interesting that now I realize I'm an eye doctor because, and you know, I was told this by a psychic, interestingly. She said to me, "You're a healer. You've always been a healer. But you're an eye doctor now because you are blinded in the past lives and you wanted to write that being blind. And so this is why you're an eye doctor in this particular lifetime." And that was before I ended up embracing that I had my own intuitive and psychic abilities because I'm a real doctor and I didn't want anybody to know that I could do that stuff.
Right, so you kept that quiet. I understand that. Now, have you ever looked into iridology? Because that's a very, very interesting diagnostic technique that's linked to the eyes.
I know about it. I have looked at it peripherally. It's just I have not had time in my pathway to actually study it. So I know about it. I've met people at it. I'm like, this is absolutely fascinating. I'm sure that I could do it if I study it, but it's not part of my core genius at this moment in time.
So when did you start bringing in or bringing out, let's say, and recognizing and speaking about your psychic abilities, which, as you said, I mean, you went to Princeton. You're highly educated. You had a feeling that, you know, talking about psychic abilities might interfere with people recognizing you as a really highly educated physician.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like when you say that, you went to Princeton, I'm like, they're going to come and revoke my degree. Don't say that too loud because I say this. But you know how the let's call it the establishment is. Anything that doesn't seem, let's call it provable. They don't think this is science. But in fact, intuition is science. It's based in quantum electrodynamics of physics. It's thought about a completely different way than biochemistry and physiology. We're talking a lot about herbs. I'm on the other side, which is why I gravitated towards homeopathics because they work on the energetic side. I'm not an herbalist, but from going through functional medicine and integrative medicine, we get a lot of background and training in different types of herbs that I would not call myself a herbalist. So what happened about talking it 5 years ago, five and a half years ago, I had a really big injury. I went out running one day and tripped and fell, dislocated my knee, tore every ligament there, detached my tendon. And in the hospital, when I was talking to my spiritual advisor at the time, he said to me, "You have all these abilities in your intuition, and you're not using them at all. You are not on your master path in life, and therefore, this is why you had this put in front of you. It was your inflexibility to even acknowledge this." I was sitting on the couch, my leg up, about to have surgery, and I was like, okay, I got to do something different. And at that point, you know, it's still difficult to admit it because you think everyone, and this does happen, people are going to call you a quack and say it's not real. But on the other side, once I started offering it, I realized that all those other letters I have behind my name, and I don't even put them all behind my name like everybody else does, that's not what people come to me for. When people find me, they come to me for my gift, my ability, able to laser focus in from an energetic standpoint, what's going on with them physically, emotionally, and spiritually, get the links to that, figure out what's going to be the plan, and the plan is going to be unusual. It's not going to be anything that they've heard from anybody else, and it will work. And that's, you know, communicating with a gentleman right now that emailed me yesterday who I don't even know where he found me yet. But these people, you have strange, rare, and peculiar. Strange, rare, peculiar doesn't necessarily have a name. And you have tried so many other things. You've done exactly what your doctor has said. You've been to everybody, but nobody can seem to help you. And you still want help. You still want hope. Those are the type of people who find me and ends up being my core genius. And I got to tell you, this is a lot of fun now. Because when you listen to, I tell people, I'm channeling your body and your energy. I'm just giving you back what your body's saying it needs. And that's why it works so well. And this has been the most rewarding part of my career, I got to tell you.
Well, that's a wonderful sharing. So would you say now you do more sort of psychic, medical, intuitive psychic visits rather than actual eye surgery, or do you still do both?
So I do not do any eye surgery at all. I've left that completely. But I've got to tell you, it's interesting because whenever anybody asks me an eye question, a problem, something with their eye, I can obviously very well intuit and energetically figure out what's going on. And sometimes I'll look at somebody from distance and I can tell you what their eye looks like inside. So I'm like, you know what? I need to tell people I can do that specifically because there's not many people who subspecialize in the intuitive area. So no, I am not doing eye surgery. I have a completely holistic and virtual practice. People find me. I deal with them online, by a video conferencing, on telephone, and I don't need to see people in person to be able to figure it out. If you understand about the energetic field and quantum physics and how that works, time and space, there is no limitations with time and space, and so you can see people or not see people and still help them and get an answer. So sometimes people will get the service where they just want to ask a single question. They'll email me and then I will answer the question. I'll send a video back to them answering what their question, problem, concern is and giving them strategies. And they will have never met me physically, online, or anything else like that. So I can work there, which is beautiful because I can work and there's no limitations to it. The biggest limitation is the belief system of people that see what I do. They just like, how can you do that without even talking to people? But this is in a different realm. It's not biochemistry and physiology. It's quantum physics, and the rules are a little different in quantum physics.
True. And you yourself know about focus. I mean, you actually have a black belt in Taekwondo.
Ah, yes, I do.
Yes, I'm looking at your bio online. So you are an exceptional person who certainly knows how to take advantage of gifts and overcome limitations.
Oh, yes. You know, that's another piece. In Western medicine, as it's practiced today, there's only the physical side. They don't talk about the spiritual and emotional side and what to do with the body. If you go to traditional Chinese medicine where they have Qigong and Tai Chi, or Ayurvedic medicine where they have yoga, it's an integral part of healing and or staying well. We don't have anything like that in traditional medicine. But learning to control your body, be focused, create your personality in a particular way to defend yourself, but not be aggressive. But when you have to, be able to even use energy to keep people away from you. That's a martial art. Anybody who's done any type of martial arts know that those are part of it. And these turn out to be important pieces to your health. And so even when I was training in martial arts, and I started in martial arts because I have three sons, and we were taking them so much, we decided, okay, let's join because we're here so much, so we'll get something done. So I started as an adult. Yeah, I started as an adult and ended up, I've gotten to third degree black belt. I'm on a hiatus right now because to get from third to fourth degree requires a significant amount of time, energy, effort to get your body in shape, and we have to do weapons and just all these different things. And I'm like, okay, I just, with everything else I'm doing right now, I'm going to have to go on a hiatus because I cannot focus on moving to the next level. But it's funny because you mentioned that, because every week I think, I missed this. How am I going to get this back in my life?
Right. It was only so much time. So what is a medical intuitive in general? And, you know, I think that you're so special being both a physician and a medical intuitive, because I would say most medical intuitives are really lay people. They don't have the additional background that you have.
Yeah, that's something that's interesting. I know there are a lot of very talented people out there who can read the body in different ways. And it's interesting, when I get a reading from people, I get these deep answers that are very different from somebody who does not have that background and training. I'm working with different types of ascended masters than I would say the lay person without medical background is. So sometimes I can see genetic defects and, problems with food and what lab tests will look like, because it's in my data bank and the to be able to access this type of information, even not meeting people. And I've said to people, okay, it's interesting. I can only call myself a medical doctor because I have some education, training, and licensure. Yet anyone can call themselves a medical intuitive. I think we need to start figuring out what people's area and subspecialty is and putting people's feet to the fire. It's the Wild West. And so I know a lot of people are out there helping people, keep helping people. But when you come to me, it's going to be a little bit different, because once I get the intuitive answer, I'm going to be able to put behind it all that other skills and training. And not just traditionally, but also this is why I continue to get more training. It's like why I'm saying, maybe I'll go to that herbal class because I can get deeper there. And so when I get a download, I'm going to get a particular herb with doses and everything. But I can't do that without the background and training. And then be able to switch over to the left brain side of it and guide people through a program that's going to work. And be able to language it to them in a particular way and just be very, very precise. We're talking precision medicine. And for me, the definition of medicine is anything that heals the patient. So I don't like the words alternative even, because people say it's alternative medicine. No, anything that heals people is medicine. We've just allowed the medical establishment in Western countries to co-opt the term of medicine and use alternative. But I've seen, you know, videos, and I'm sure you've seen these videos on the internet of shaman and tribesmen and people healing people in remarkable ways that we can't even touch with Western medicine. And so my goal is to be that type of provider where I'm like the shaman or the tribesman that has that, you know, background, but also can put it alongside of the Western information and knowledge. And so that people have the access to more answers than they would with somebody who has no education and training that's medical, or people that only have that medical training, but none of that energetic or spiritual background going on.
Yeah, I agree. That's a very special skill set that you have. And it reminds me of in dance even. Just because you studied classical ballet and you're excellent at those techniques, I think that makes you freer to go into like interpretive dance or modern dance. It really doesn't stop you. It enhances your ability once you go into a different avenue.
Absolutely. I notice when I go to different trainings that it just brings out that more creativity. And as I work with clients, I just am able to get more answers. And it is medicine. When they say, you know, practice medicine, it's an art. There's not a structured protocol. Everybody's body wants it in a different way. Everybody's spirit wants it in a different way. And so the interpretation is, what is the right order and timing and dosing for whoever that person is sitting in front of you, so that you get them the result as quick as you possibly can. And it's about ending suffering. People don't want to be sick and miserable. They don't want to be on a pill, even if it's a supplement. Think about, you're doing herbs. Even if you give somebody an herb, they don't want to be on that herb forever. They want to be able to put on the herb, fix whatever they got to fix, and then be able to come off of it. And so my goal is to help people do that rather than put them on a drug, which is your body's not suffering from a drug deficiency. There's no Lipitor deficiency. There's no, you know, Lyrica deficiency in the body. Something else is going on in your world and affecting you physically that we need to find out what that is, fix that. And it might require, you know, food or herbs or something. And it might sometime require a pharmaceutical. Fix it though. And then let people go back and recreate their health and wellness so that they can enjoy their life free of the suffering.
What a wonderful outline of a great place to get back towards health, Dr. Veronica. And we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I want to let you know that you are listening on Progressive Radio Network. We're always so happy to be a part of Progressive Radio Network. You can go to prn.fm. You can donate if you'd like so that we can continue to bring you all this great information, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and all the other wonderful shows right here. You can also get a free app. Just go on whatever app store you go to and download PRN, Progressive Radio Network, and then you could listen to us all the time on your phone, our show. Also, there are archives, so when we're done with our show today with Dr. Veronica Anderson, MD, and she is a fascinating guest, as you No, and we'll be continuing our conversation with her. Her website is drveronica.com with tons of information about her and how you can get in touch with her and set up an intuitive analysis of yourself. And with her great knowledge of both medicine and her psychic abilities. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the essential oil taken from the Australian tea tree.
The tea tree, known as Melaleuca alternifolia, grows in only one region of the world, the northeast corner of Australia. It is a full-size tree of the myrtle family, whose oil has powerful abilities to clean and help heal wounds and skin ailments such as cuts, burns, and rashes. In 1770, the infamous Captain Cook was a lieutenant in the British Royal Navy when his ship landed in Australia. The botanist on board, Sir Joseph Banks, collected samples of a sticky aromatic leaf and brought them back to England for further investigation.
In 1923, an Australian curator and chemist, Dr. Penfold, conducted a study on tea tree leaves and discovered that their essential oils are 13 times stronger as an antiseptic bactericide than carbolic acid, considered the standard in the early 1900s. The oil contains 50 to 60% terpenes, 6 to 8% cineol, which causes its camphor-like odor, and several kinds of alcohols. In 1933, the Australian Journal of Pharmacy, the American Journal of the National Medical Association, and the British Medical Journal reported that tea tree oil is a powerful disinfectant, non-poisonous, non-irritating, and has been used successfully in a very wide range of septic conditions. Australian tea tree oil is mentioned in the British Pharmaceutical Codex of 1949, the UK Medicine List, and the Dispensary of the United States.
During World War II, tea tree oil was considered a standard issue item for all first aid kits for Army and Navy units in tropical regions. The demand for tea tree oil exceeded the supply. However, after World War II, synthetic drugs gained in popularity and the use of tea tree oil in medicine waned. In more recent times, a renewed interest in natural, non-toxic alternatives has triggered a resurgence in tea tree oil research. In 1985, Dr. Paul Belacher, chief of the phytotherapy department at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Paris, worked on several double-blind studies involving tea tree oil and its application as a remedy for candidiasis, chronic cystitis, staph and strep infections, and nail bed fungus. He stated, and we quote, "The essential oil of Melaleuca has entered the team of major essential oils and emerges as an antiseptic and antifungal weapon of the first order in phytoaromatherapy."
Try a few drops of tea tree oil in a steam vaporizer and inhale for blocked sinuses, or rub the oil on chest and back for a cough. The Australian Journal of Dentistry reported that using tea tree oil in dental hygiene and in surgery showed it to be an extremely effective antiseptic. Add a drop on your toothbrush or include it as a gargle and mouthwash. Tea tree oil can be applied directly to the skin. Although it's possible that some people may experience a mild allergic reaction, in-depth research has shown tea tree oil to be non-irritating and safe.
So, listeners, Think about including tea tree oil, the first aid kit in a bottle, in your natural medicine chest.
Love to hear from you. Get in touch at naturalnurse.com, bottom left-hand corner. Just put in your email and you will get the newsletter. If you don't want to do that, you can just read all the things that we're doing by going to calendar. That's the best place to access the list of up-and-coming events. We have classes, I would say, almost every day, either online or on ground, and we'd love to hear from you. And today we have as our guest Dr. Veronica Anderson, medical doctor and medical intuitive. What a wonderful combination. Her website is drveronica.com. And we have a free gift that Dr. Veronica is actually giving our listeners. And we'll have a link to it. It's drveronica.com/flu. Dr. Veronica, welcome back to Natural Alternatives. And can you tell us about your free gift and why people might want
to
access?
We have to talk about that because at this point in time, we're going into flu season and people are like deciding whether or not they want to get a flu shot. Even at every supermarket, pharmacy, they're like, get your flu shot, get your flu shot. And I'm not going to get into the politics of vaccines, but I'm sure you've talked about this at particular times. People have to decide what they feel is right for them. But you need to understand that should you decide to get the flu shot, you are still largely unprotected. It's 20 to 35% effective even when you get it, which means that 65 to 80% of the time, you are still unprotected. And so I put together it's a ward off colds and flu toolkit because you want to figure out, how do I stay well? Even if you decide to get the flu shot, or you say, I don't believe in shots and I'm not getting the shot, or you're allergic to mercury's in the shot, formaldehyde's are in the shot, eggs are in the shot. Let me say that again. There's mercury in the shot. There's formaldehyde in the shot, which they use to embalm people when they die. You have to decide whether or not that you feel you want to get it. So let's say you decide yes or no. Let's talk about what do you do to keep yourself well. That's what this toolkit is. So it goes through foods to eat or not eat. It goes through homeopathic remedies that work, that you can maintain your health, but also when you get sick, here's what to do and what to take. It has, you know, mushrooms, sprays in it. It also has herbal sprays in it that are known to ward off cold and flu. It also talks about vitamins and minerals that need to be in order so that you're more resistant. So I put this together, and if you'll notice about the kit, it's not just about warding off cold and flu. It's something that's going to just keep you healthy all around. I met so many people that, I had a friend, she told me that year after year, she would plan her schedule, her work schedule, around getting sick. She knew that every January and every March, I'm going to get sick and probably be sick 3 weeks out of that month. That you don't have to be like that. Why does that happen? Your immune system is not working the way it should, and you're not resisting it. So therefore, let's get the immune system stronger, and that's what this is meant to do. So if you're one of those kind of persons, everything that comes down the line, you get sick, or you get sick and the cough happens, the sinus happens, the bronchitis happens, or you go right from that sickness in the winter into those spring allergies, this kit is meant to help you be able to do that. And in it, it has, here's what it is, here's why you need to know about it, and here is the link where you can go buy it yourself.
What an excellent gift, and thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners, Dr. Veronica. I think it's a fantastic thing to prepare. That's why one of my books is called The Natural Medicine Chest, Because if you set up your natural medicine chest in advance, then it's not like you get a sniffle and you have to go to the health food store and you can't get there that day because you're at work and then it's too late. So it really works so much better to get this free gift from Dr. Veronica, which is drveronica.com/flu. We'll have a live link right on our archives, and that is a free gift for our listeners. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. Now let's go off into a different topic that we haven't really covered yet. What do you feel, Dr. Veronica, as both a doctor and a medical intuitive, is the link between spirituality and health?
So what happens for people is that they don't realize that stress is really the underlying root pinnings to why you get some type of physical ailment in your body. If people have read or know about Bruce Lipton's The Biology of Belief, you understand that what you're thinking and feeling is going to actually change your physiology. And so this is of utmost importance. So any fear, anger, stress, sadness, those emotions are health-harming. Fear, anger, sadness, health-harming. There's gratitude, love, and joy, which are health-promoting. And so if you're tipped over 51% into the gratitude, love, and joy category, most of the time, you're going to stay well. And so a lot of times people have these life crises, these questions about their self, their purpose, situations in their work, in their relationships that are stressful. Those are spiritual crises. And what's happening is when you get an illness in your body, it's the universe telling you, you got to make some type of change. It's a spiritual message. Do something, do something, do something. And if you do not get that message, you will get sicker and sicker and sicker. And so this link is there. It's how the universe communicates all with us on our soul journey, our life journey, so that we learn what we're supposed to be able to learn. Now, sometimes somebody else has an illness or injury that you're supposed to learn from. Case in point, if you have a child that has an illness, autism, cancer, something like that, I have a friend that I'm watching grieve because her 12-year-old son was killed in a car accident. Oh my gosh, there's a message for her and the rest of her family in that tragedy. What is it? I don't know. She's going to have to work that out. But illnesses and injuries are the same way. So, for instance, my father, being the diabetic and all these other type of things, really has shaped the way I practice medicine these days, the way I've always looked at life and said, I'm going to be different. And interestingly, it was my father who, when he was coming through, wanted to be a doctor, but couldn't because there wasn't the money or the opportunity at that particular time. He ended up becoming an electrical engineer. He was the president of IEEE Computer Society at one point, the first African-American to hold a position like that. But my father, watching him, his career, but also him going through his illnesses and injuries, has been a spiritual and life lesson for me. So illnesses and injuries always, they're so salient because there's suffering involved, and we learn when that suffering happens. Look at our country right now. A lot of people are suffering because of what's going on in the whole climate and atmosphere. But what happens? Because of that suffering, people are really examining their thoughts and feelings and taking action to change. And that's what an illness and injury is. It's an opportunity to take action and change something. The question is, are you going to figure out what the message is in that and actually take that action to do what you need to do to move your life forward?
Well, your father must have felt so proud when you followed up on his dream and became a doctor.
Oh, yeah. My father, unfortunately, now has memory loss. And is in a nursing facility, which is, you know, it's interesting because that's pushing me onto another life path and another part of my life. But one day I go in to see my father and I'm feeling, you know, just guilty because he's in this nursing facility and I couldn't prevent this, you know, because, you know, you feel like you're a child, you want to rescue, especially your doctor, you know this as a nurse, you want to rescue everybody, especially from any type of health problems. But it wasn't for me to rescue. But the day I walked into the nursing facility, my father pulled me aside and said, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something. Let's go over to the special room. He takes me over into the special room. He said, I just want you to know how much I love you and how proud I am of you.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, it's all, you know, I tell the story and I tear up about it because I'm feeling guilty and bad for where my father is. And I'm like, what is he going to say to me? Oh, my God. Because, you know what it is. You get that guilt where you beat yourself up. And we all tend to do things like that. And for him to say that was just like, keep doing what you're doing. That's he, in that message, it was like, what you're doing is great and keep doing what you're doing. And, but it's also interesting because it's pushing me on another, you know, I'm working with my husband on helping develop residential assisted living because I can't stand the way older people are treated. I saw through my father how we're treating people at the end of life when their families don't have the wherewithal to care for them. It's unacceptable. And so my husband and I have been working on a project to help start to remedy that problem. It's just, I look at my father and all that he's contributed to my life. You know, I was a little Indian princess. I was on the swim team. He was the referee and the starter. Just, you know, I had this beautiful life. A lot of people had the life of, oh, I was abused or this. My father was a fabulous father. I don't even know how he knew how, because he didn't grow up with his father. His father died when he was 3. But he gave me a wonderful childhood. And so now I feel like, how am I going to give this back now? And there's not a good system in place in our country when people are at this vulnerable stage to be able to help them transition to whatever it is for them that's next. And so this, my father's situation, even up into the nursing home on memory care, is a spiritual message for me that you gotta do something. And so everything that happens in life, especially those difficult situations that create a lot of emotion and suffering, you have to say, what is the bigger message that I'm supposed to get out of this?
That's very, very good advice. Now, how, if someone did want to connect with you, what would be the difference between seeing a medical intuitive like yourself or a psychologist or a psychiatrist? Or could you do both?
It is not psychotherapy or anything like that. This is energy. Let's call it the field of energy medicine. And so what happens is I'm tapping into your energy system to figure out what your body needs, what your mind needs, what your spirit needs. Think of it in terms of everything has an energy imprint. An apple and an orange, if I held them up and had you close your eyes and said which is which, more than the 50% of the time you would pick the right hand with the orange in it. If I said tell me which one has the orange in it, it's because it has a particular energy imprint to it. Same with illnesses and injuries. And so when we can figure out what that is and then how to correct that energetic system, then the body can go on to heal. So this is not the same as laying on the couch and doing psychotherapy. I call it laying on the couch. I know most of the time people are sitting in chairs and things like that. It's very,
nowadays,
very different.
You're talking about right, how long you've been doing this when you say going on the couch, right?
Yeah, we used to, like we all say laying on the couch or sitting on the couch because this is how it's depicted in media.
Right.
It's not done that way a lot of times. but it's a different way. It's looking at the system a different way, your system of your mind, body, and spirit. And so with psychotherapy, generally you're dealing with the mind only. You're a whole person. We all are whole people. We cannot separate it out. And so in doing the energy medicine, along with it all, it's truly holistic mind, body, spirit. It's 360, and it's working at getting at the root cause as opposed to just putting a Band-Aid on a few symptoms. And that's what we do a lot of times. You have high cholesterol, here's your statin drug, you put a Band-Aid on it, but you didn't figure out why do they have the high cholesterol in the first place. Why is this person susceptible? They might say, well, they're eating horribly, but somebody else can eat horribly and not have high cholesterol or gain weight or things like that. So what is susceptible about you? And also realizing, and you know this as a nurse, when people are coming to you with that health crisis, they're also having a life crisis. And so practitioners have to understand that you can help usher somebody through their life crisis in a different type of way through using these type of techniques.
Well, we're going to take another break right here, and we're going to hear from our station, which is Progressive Radio Network. That's PRN.FM, and you can download that app. You can also call by phone to listen to any of the shows. Each show has its own phone number, and that's listed on my website at naturalnurse.com under radio, so you can listen anytime. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Dr. Veronica Anderson, MD, medical intuitive, functional medicine practitioner, and homeopath. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, the founder of the Progressive Radio Network. Today, we have more than 80 producers bringing forth the most progressive and most liberating information, the kind of information you do not regularly hear on any of the mainstream or alternative media. You can help us now. Up to this point, I have virtually supported the Progressive Radio Network, all of its expenses and payroll, myself. But we would like to expand our reach. We'd like to do far more. We'd like to be able to advertise on Facebook and let others know we exist. We are the number one progressive radio network in the world. In fact, we have programs that are most listened to in all of progressive radio. But we could go a lot further. Our message could reach a lot more people, especially at a time when people are desperate for honest, objective insights on the important topical issues of our day. How can you help? It's simple. Go to PRN.FM, go to our main page. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button, Support Now. And then whatever you can contribute on a monthly basis will make a big difference. It will help get the message out. It will help inform more people, give them more choices. This is where you'll hear in the independent candidates and the people looking to challenge the corruption in government and industries. But we need to get our reach out further. So please, whatever you can afford on a monthly basis, and there's some suggestions there, and it'll be automatic. All right? Thank you very much for continuing to help us help you and the rest of the world on these important issues.
Folks, my name is Jordan Valerie. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm here to tell you about the Millennial Politics Podcast. We speak with the next generation of progressive candidates, activists, and organizations dedicated to restoring our democracy and protecting our civil rights and liberties. Make sure to stay tuned for Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Progressive Radio Network, to hear the most recent episode of our podcast, and follow us on social media and iTunes to stay up to date with everything Millennial Politics.
Listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
much for joining us today. Thank you for those of you who do help support Progressive Radio Network. We love to be a part of this station. And there's 80 other shows here, all excellent. And, of course, they're available 24/7, which is also pretty exciting. If you can't tune in at 10 a.m. every Tuesday, join any time. And so today we have as our guest Dr. Veronica. You can find her at drveronica.com. She's been our guest talking about her psychic medical intuitive practice, which, by the way, is open to anyone because she does that virtually, which means by phone. But that's in real time. Is that correct, Dr. Veronica?
So, yes, in real time, but also the way I work, people can submit a question and I can send them back a video and things like that. So there's multiple ways that people can access information depending on what their needs are and how deep that they want to go. The best way to work is not just to simply get a reading, but to have follow-up coaching so that you can implement what's going on. And so working with me for 90 to 120 days is, you know, when people usually completely turn around and transform. And that's people think that it takes a long time to get well. No, it doesn't. You can heal very, very rapidly. Sometimes people heal instantaneously. Other times it takes a little longer, but it doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out process as we've been taught to believe that it is in Western medicine.
So let's go through, because we only have a few minutes left. Let's say, give me an example of, let's say, a real customer who came to you, what you did, and the outcome.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the typical person that comes, strange, rare, peculiar. I had a lady who consulted me because all of a sudden she's in her 60s and she started noticing she's having anxiety attacks and all these like just little strange things happen, aches and pains, and nothing seems to be going right, but she has this anxiety attacks, and they especially are bad when she goes out to drive. And she can't think of what could possibly precipitate this. She's been productive, and all of a sudden she feels like, okay, now I'm being confined to my house because I can't even go in and out. And driving, I feel like, you know, I'm going to drive off a cliff. And so as I did the reading for this lady, I realized that she has this situation because she was experiencing emotionally still something that happened to her in a past life. She actually had a situation. It was interesting because she was like in her 60s and she met this guy online. This is in today's life, who was 28, and she was mortified. And she's like, why am I so attracted to him? And I feel guilty and all this other type of stuff. And it turns out when I did her reading, in the past life, she had a significant relationship with this man she had met online. But in the life past, it wasn't online. They had met in a country store randomly, but she was married to somebody else and she had three kids and she really wanted to be with this other guy, feeling guilty about this, hadn't been with him at all, but she loved her husband too. And she had these three kids and she's like, I can't do this. And she was so conflicted. She ended up killing herself and two of her kids. And how she did it was she drove into a river and she killed herself, and she took her kids with her because she couldn't. She said, if I don't take my kids with me, they're going to be without a mother and, you know, all these other things. So she, one of her kids actually did not die in the accident. He was able to get out of the car, but the other two did. Once I told her this story, because the whole time I'm telling her this story of what I see, because I'm very clairvoyant. So as I'm telling you this, I can see it like a movie. And so if you ask me details, I can give you the details of that. And so that's what was happening when I was reading this lady. What happened at that point is she realizes that, oh my gosh, that explains why I'm attracted to that guy. That explains why I'm having these panic attacks. And wow, all of a sudden it was like a weight lifted off of her. And her life got better where she could go out and she's feeling better because she understood suddenly what was going on and why. Now, she, on her own, couldn't access that information. I was able to access that type of information for her. And somebody like that, though, I tell you that story because it's a beautiful type story, even though, you know, that there's that tragic ending in the past life, because first you realize that you go from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, and sometimes you carry into a lifetime an illness, an injury, or a problem, and you don't even know why you feel that way. You're just like, I really don't like that person. I don't know why. I've never even met them before. A lot of times those strong emotions have some type of attachment, but those strong emotions, fear, anger, sadness, can root in your body, cause the physical problem, and when we're able to release those emotions and bring them over to gratitude, love, joy, she realized that loving somebody's not a bad thing, that she's grateful because now she has some answers. That's when, you know, very rapid, remarkable healing can take place. And so this is something that's non-typical. She had been around to all kinds of doctors. She had done the psychotherapist, and she was getting worse instead of getting better. And so she was frustrated because how come nobody can give me answers? I'm doing everything everybody tells me, and yet I'm having more panic attacks, not less. And by the way, who is this guy over here I'm so attracted to and I'm mortified about? So this is very different, as you can understand, than when somebody walks into a typical doctor's office.
That's true. Well, what was the outcome then as we head towards the end of the show?
Well, I mean, she was comfortable in being friends with the guy who she had met online. I mean, they weren't really in a traditional relationship. She was comfortable with that. But then her anxiety attacks went away, and she was able to go out and live her life.
Well, that's the good news. That's the good news, because
Absolutely. Actually
she was able to move on past something that held her back and could also manifest as physical illness, too, and people don't even realize that it's linked to past lives, to spiritual emotional issues, and yourself as a doctor can actually understand both.
Yes. I mean, and the beauty of this is when you do this type of work, I intersect with a lot of people who have different types of energetic techniques, and I've experienced them even on my own body. And it's amazing when somebody releases, helps your body release, because you're not, people say they're a healer, but I'm like, I'm the guide to give you information so your body remembers how to heal. And so I've been through processes with other practitioners where, oh my gosh, my leg was hurting and, you know, deformed. I mean, this was happened from my inner injury. And I'm at the gym today and my leg's straight. Yesterday it wasn't straight. Today it's straight. What just happened? I went through that session. And so that's what the beauty is when you start working in the energetic realm. And, you know, for myself, with my leg, I had gone through physical therapy, acupuncture, this, that, other thing. And I wasn't getting the results. And it was through, you know, a man I met, George Roth, who does matrix repatterning, and several other energy practitioners, that I've been able to resolve that. But also understand that my concern about some of the things in my life and moving forward was actually hindering my healing, and I was holding these things in my energy field. And so once I was aware of that, these were able to be released. So practitioners experience this, you know, so sometimes people think doctors are God, and we're not. We're just human beings. And so I experienced the same type of things that other human beings experience with my own health, which also helps me understand the remarkableness that I can help somebody else get through.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Veronica Anderson, medical doctor. You can find her at drveronica.com. Thank you so much for being our guest right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And listeners, thank you so much for joining us again for another edition right here on Progressive Radio Network. And of course, you can always find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. We love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.